When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome into the program. Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. And we've got a lot that we can discuss this morning at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We're going to continue giving away money today. We're getting you entered to give away money to. And we're going to continue giving away comedy tickets. And you know what? We're going to continue to talk some bull here on the morning show. And you heard Phil give you that update about the cause of, well, the reason why those bulls were able to escape the rodeo with the Emerald Square Mall last weekend. But what I found to be the most concerning part of the update that we got isn't the fact that this pin got loose. That just sounds like it's one of those things. You know, two bulls got on top of each other as they were kind of loading them into the corral. This pin got knocked loose. Stuff like that can happen. The concerning part to me was the fact that we were told there was eight bulls that were loose. And that seven were captured immediately. And now we find out that it was only seven bulls that were loose and it was six that were captured immediately. So I'm more concerned about the fact that they didn't know how many bulls they had and how many were missing. They couldn't count the number of bulls. That was the more concerning part. But now, at least we have a reason for why it happened. And as ABC6 pointed out in their coverage of this story, all the permissions and permits were in place for this to happen. So this was all done formally through the proper process. This rodeo company was, you know, above board and checked out. So it seems like it was just one of those things. But I don't know. I hopefully we don't have any more parking lot rodeos coming anytime soon. Just seems like it should be in some place that's a little bit more secure. 508-996-0500. I want to get into a deeper dive today on the Fall River City Council and the vote that they had Tuesday night to ban, quote, unauthorized camping on public property. So they are now making it so that anybody who is caught on city land can be fined. Now, it's not going to be, there's certain ways or certain criteria that have to be met for that fine to be levied. for the most part, it's just saying you legally can't be here anymore. We're going to move you on. And the plan is to move them into a shelter, into a place where they can have a bed. But the other side of it is if certain criteria are met, they could be fined. Now, one of the key parts of it is that it calls for no fines if the person is homeless, if there are no shelter beds available, and if the person is willing to, quote, immediately go to a shelter if or when space becomes available. So they're not going to be looking to fine people who have nowhere else to go. But they would fine, say, you or I, if we decided we were going to go, you know, if we just decided we wanted to go camping, and rather than pay to get a campsite at a local campground, we said, we're just going to go pitch a tent in Buttonwood Park. Why not? It's public land. You know, those are the kind of people that would likely be fined. But they also have the ability, the city does, to destroy any campsites that are built on public land. So they can take it down and get rid of it. So if a person does build an encampment, let's just say, you know, someone is homeless, they build themselves up a little encampment, the city does have the right now to take that all down and to toss that person's property. So that's some next level stuff in the way that cities have had to deal with this problem. The council voted 6-1. Two members were absent. They voted 6-1 to ban, to ban unauthorized camping on public property. But not only did Sheriff Paul Heureux speak out against it, but Mayor Paul Coogan is speaking out against it as well. As someone who has, you know, been working to help the homeless population during his time in office. And the idea behind this is that it's supposed to, you know, preserve the public welfare, to keep these public spaces from becoming overrun with people who are living in an unsanitary manner. And it's not just city property either. It's also state or federally owned property. So they can be the enforcement for that rather than getting that tied up in paperwork, having to call the state. Hey, can you send the state police down to move these people along? Or, you know, if it's a national park. So this will be something that I guess the plan is to have folks that would enforce this. Now, they're saying it does not criminalize homelessness because it calls for civil punishment. But what happens if somebody doesn't pay the fines? Because if you're dealing with people who already don't have income, don't have money, how are they going to pay these fines? Because we're talking about how do you define homeless? What if there's a 19-year-old son that lives at home with his parents and doesn't like their rules and can't get along with them and goes and camps on public space? Is he homeless? He doesn't have a place of his own, but he could go back to live with his parents. Does he face a fine, or is he amnestied from that? Does he get the option to go to a shelter? if he goes to a shelter, is that now taking up a bed from someone who needs one when he technically has a bed he can go home to? But an interesting note in the Herald News report on this is that at the meeting, Sheriff Herroux said his goal is to turn New Bedford's Ash Street Jail into a shelter for people experiencing homelessness post-incarceration where they could receive wraparound service, including health care. Now, maybe I missed it, but I don't recall Sheriff Herroux saying this before about Ash Street. Is this new information? I'll have to check with Chris later and see if he's brought it up on in any of his appearances on his program. Maybe I just wasn't listening at that time. But I was under the impression that the shutdown of the Ash Street Jail would then leave it up to the county what to do with that building. I don't know that homeless folks are going to feel better about going into the Ash Street Jail. You know, how much money is that going to cost to make it habitable space? Because we hear right now that it's not fit for human inhabitation. It's not fit to be a place where people are incarcerated, where people are being detained. So that's going to be okay enough for people to stay in if they have nowhere else to live? I would think it would require some upgrades and some renovating. But what is the cost associated with that? So a lot of questions that remain in some of these plans. And honestly, I don't know that any of this is going to go anywhere. That would be my honest opinion on this. This is just putting it on the books so they have the ability to enforce it, but that I don't think they would actually do much enforcement of it. Except to say, on a cold night, they can go out and say, hey, you know, you're legally not supposed to be here. Come with us. We have a warm bed for you. And maybe that makes the person a little bit more likely to go to the shelter than they would have been before. Because the problem isn't necessarily that they don't have the beds. It's that the people don't want to go to the beds. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Well, I seem to have caught a very bad cold, and I'm assuming I got it at the doctor's office. There was a lot of people wiping their noses and everything. I mean, I could have got it in my building too, a lot of people. Yes, I don't know, but I was fine till I went there. So last night was pretty rough. I felt it in my nose. I'm still feeling it there today. Now, I have a question. I wonder if anybody knows. My cat was coming at me, you know, always liking to sit on me and everything. Can an animal catch a cold from a human? I don't want her to get sick, you know.
I do believe so, yes. I know that dogs could, so I would assume a cat could as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just thought of it this morning. Okay, the bull, that last bull, did they shoot that last bull they got?
No, they were able to capture it safely.
Oh, that's good to know.
No bull stakes for you this time, Mary.
So, like, what do they shoot a dart at it and put it to sleep? How do they get it, actually? I don't know.
I think they just corralled it. Because as long as the bull isn't agitated, it you know, it's used to just doing what they want. It's used to going with them. But then, you know, when they become agitated or when they're in a group, they feel emboldened. So, you know, then they're less likely to obey. But I don't think the bull really cared about, you know, running away from the rodeo. I think, you know, they just don't want to be in the corral.
Yeah. I just popped up my screen here. I'm looking at the Florida, that storm. Boy. Some guy they interviewed, he said he heard on the news that 18-foot storm surge, and he said, well, I'm a little over 6 feet, so that's 3 times my height, and none of us are going to live through something like that. So I'm sorry for them, boy.
Yeah, I have friends that live down there that are already being evacuated, and One of my friends is like, you know, they I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any family down here. I don't know anybody locally. I've only been down here for about 8 months. And now I've got to go to a shelter because I don't have any other choice.
Like, what the heck is going on with all these storms and everything? I mean, you know, we're due for something over here. I don't know. I don't want to say snowstorm, hurricane, tornado. We're due for something, don't you think?
Well, I never like to think of it in that terms because, like, I don't think there's a requirement that we have to have it. But the longer you go without something, the more nervous you become about, are we going to be prepared for it if it does come? Have we gotten too lax because we've not dealt with one for so long?
Yeah.
Like the other day when I was in Wareham with Kristen, who works here, working on that story about the new bar, arcade, and restaurant that's coming. We were looking at all the buildings downtown, and I said, you know, my friend just posted photos from Hurricane Bob, and the water was up over the doorways down here on all these businesses.
And, you know, the hurricane dash we have here, they're pretty old. I remember when they first put them up. That's how old I am. I remember them working on that down there. But, and now this thing with the whole, let me get this right, because I'm not sure that what I'm hearing is real. They want homeless people to pay a fine for being on the street?
So they
have nowhere to go?
They made it illegal to camp on public property. So they now have the legal right to move them along. They can't be like, hey, it's public property. I can stay here if I want. So,
yeah, move them along to another spot where they're going to come after them again. But yet the illegals are in the hotels, motels. So where are the American people who are homeless supposed to go? How can you expect money from somebody who has nowhere to go? How is that?
Well, I think, and that's part of it, is I don't...
Who has that power? Who has that power to do that?
This was passed by the Fall River City Council because it was ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court that cities could do this.
But does it make sense, Mr. Meisberg, to do that for somebody that's out there like that?
No.
I mean, we have veterans out there. They've got to be kidding.
No, and like I was saying before, I don't know if you might have been dialing in, didn't hear, but I don't think that this is something that they're going to actually, A, be able to enforce, but B, really even try to enforce. I think this is just to give it a little bit more urgency when they do go out on the street and talk to these people on a cold night and say, hey, you know, you're legally not allowed to be out here. Come with us to the shelter. And before, the person would say, oh, no, I don't want to go. I'm fine. I've been in those shelters. No thanks. And now they can say, well, you know, it's actually against the law for you to be out here, and you could get in trouble. And so that might coax the person into going inside.
Do you know if they utilized those buildings when we had COVID? They had buildings that nobody was in it, and they were going to put homeless people or COVID people in there. Did they use those buildings?
Some of them do get used.
I don't remember where they are, but... You know.
But so they were saying here in the Herald News story about Fall River that they have the first step in that has about 50 beds, and then they have an overflow shelter that when they need it, they'll open that up, and then has another 30 beds. And then the city of Fall River is acquiring a rooming house that would allow them to have another 20 beds. So, you know, they would have 100 beds available on a night where, you know, they wanted to have people move along inside.
I mean, the homeless...
And by the way, that's just...
This is so bad. This is why I'm so against people coming here that are not legally here. Because now we're so overrun with them. Like, where are they going? I don't know. And I'm out a lot. I ride around. I go here and there. And I haven't seen too many. I see some that you know they're foreigners, but I don't know if they're illegal.
How do you know they're foreigners just by looking at them?
I'm sorry?
How do you know they're foreigners just by looking at them?
Well, they don't look like... Come on. If you go down to the Market Basket, a lot of the workers, you know that they're not... born here. They look so different. They're you can tell. But the problem is when you're looking at them, and you can tell if they're from a different country by looking, but you don't know if they're illegal or illegal. That's hard to decipher just by looking at them. So I don't know. I don't try to judge it when I see them, but I know they're not from here.
It sounds like you are judging it. Of course they're from here.
They could be
five generations from here.
But my problem is this. They're coming in such big numbers that if we have our own homeless on the street, I don't feel good. I'm not comfortable with seeing all that. They're going into the hotels, the motels, and they're going everywhere. So, while we have even veterans that are in the street, it's not right. I don't feel good about that.
I think the bigger issue with this, the homeless population they're looking to work with in this scenario, these are not the people who are like Americans who lost their homes because they couldn't afford their rent. Those people seek out services. Those people try to find help in getting back indoors. These are the people that say, no, this is how I want to live. These are the people who
say, not all of them, Mr. Weisberg.
Because they have the beds already. So if you are somebody who doesn't want to be outdoors, you seek out that bed. These are the folks that are reluctant to do that. And so this is trying to give them a little bit more reason or incentive to want to go indoors.
Mm. It's just the whole story is just very, I can't even think of a word for it. I mean, are they going to close the border or not? They know we have enough. We're over the amount, over. We are a great country, yes, but there is only so much room that you have to draw the line somewhere at some point. And I think we're so over the amount now that, I mean, they utilize all our resources, and Americans are going without. A lot of Americans are going without, and the food prices are so high now, we can't afford much more. I mean, I couldn't believe the price of those berries. Are you kidding me? And then a pound of butter, that Truly butter, which is, I like to use that kind because it doesn't have a lot of junk in it. But, I mean, it's almost $8-$9 for a pound of butter. Now, I'm going to look into maybe making my own. I don't know the first thing about it, but I'm sure I can find out how to do it. They have YouTube videos of how to make anything in the world now.
I got a pound of butter yesterday for $6.
What kind is it?
I don't know. Butter.
You don't know? You sure it's butter?
Yeah, it said butter on the box.
Not that thick margarine crap stuff?
No, it was butter. And then I normally buy, I got this at a corner store because I forgot to get it at the store and I had bought in some steamers and I needed it. But normally I buy the, what's that Irish butter? I buy that and
Irish gold.
Yeah. Kerrygold. Yeah. I buy that.
Wonderful.
You know, and that's, I pay like $5 for that, you know, for a tub of that.
And you bought that at the corner store for $5?
I bought regular butter at the corner store. They didn't have Kerrygold.
Okay. So what was it at the corner store? Because, I mean,
$5.
Corner store, you're paying what?
$5.99, so $6.
And that's for real butter. It's not
four. Nice. Yep, four sticks of real butter. I don't bother with that.
I'm sorry.
I'll say, I just got to hold you here. I just noticed I got to take a break here before the news.
Okay, all right. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
You as well. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye.
And we can take more of your calls coming up after the news. But right now, it's time to get an update on all the big stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Hurricane Helene could pack a powerful punch when it hits the U.S. Vice President Harris prepares for a trip to the border, and Disney Plus wants you to pay up.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hurricane Helene is moving toward Florida's Gulf Coast, threatening to bring high winds and life-threatening storm surge. NBC meteorologist Angie Lastman says this storm could have devastating consequences.
The storm surge, one of the most concerning parts, 10 to 20 feet along the Big Bend area. This is unsurvivable. Those were words from the National Hurricane Center.
As of last check, Helene remains a Category 1 hurricane with maximum sustained winds around 90 miles per hour. Landfall expected later tonight with winds that could reach 130 miles per hour. Federal prosecutors are expected to unseal a criminal indictment against New York City Mayor Eric Adams later today. Scott Pringle reports.
Well, the charges are not yet known, but the feds have been investigating Adams for possible illegal 2021 campaign contributions tied to Turkey and other countries. Mayor Adams responded.
These charges will be entirely false, based on lies.
Adams made it clear he'll continue carrying out his duties as mayor and will fight any charges.
For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty.
When the federal indictment is unsealed, Adams will become the first sitting mayor of New York to be charged with a crime. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
Vice President Harris is preparing to make her first trip to the U.S.-Mexico border since becoming the Democratic nominee for president. Harris will visit Douglas, Arizona on Friday as polling numbers show immigration and border security are weak points in her campaign. A campaign aide says Harris intends to push the toughest bipartisan border security plan in a generation if elected. The man suspected of throwing an explosive device inside a California courthouse on Wednesday was said to be arraigned there on firearms violations. Authorities say Nathaniel LaGuire allegedly threw a bag that exploded near a security screening station, injuring five people. He faces several charges, including attempted murder, and is being held without bail. 50 Cent has a docuseries heading to Netflix about music mogul Sean Diddy Combs' legal issues. The rapper shared a Variety report on social media about the series, captioning it, quote, "You didn't believe me, but I bet you believe me now." Combs could face up to life in prison if he's convicted for his indictment on counts of sex trafficking and racketeering. More than a third of children across the globe are nearsighted, and those numbers are expected to grow. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
New research finds that nearsightedness has been on the rise from 24% in 1990 to nearly 36% in 2023. It's especially increasing in Southeast Asian nations. Japan is at the top of the list, with 86% of its children reported to be nearsighted. Researchers recommend children spend more time engaged in physical activity and less time looking at screens. The findings were published this week in the British Journal of Ophthalmology. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And Disney Plus is cracking down on password sharing. The streamer will allow users to add a member outside their household for $7 a month for Disney Plus Basic or $10 for Disney Plus Premium. Netflix made a similar move last year and reported success with low account cancellations.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox season just about over after they were eliminated from the American League wildcard race with a 6-1 loss to the Toronto Blue Jays. Red Sox closing things out with a 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. It starts tomorrow night at Fenway Park. Meanwhile, the Boston Bruins are in New York to play the Rangers in the preseason. Puck drops tonight at 7.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. Mostly cloudy skies, around 60 as we head into the afternoon. The clouds will prevail in the mid-60s overnight tonight. Gray skies, upper 50s as we head into tomorrow. We'll be dealing with a threat for some showers. Very low possibility. Temperatures in the upper 60s with breezy conditions out of the southeast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecilia Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
I don't know why you mean to me. When I call on the telephone,
my favorite REM songs that The Bear brought back into the public consciousness. I think that song didn't really get a lot of play when it was a new song. And then, I mean, it was one of the singles off the Monster album, but it didn't get enough love, I thought. And then you never really heard it for years and years and years. And then it made multiple appearances in The Bear. And so I guess we can thank that show. I have a love-hate relationship with that show because I think it's super overrated. I think it's not a comedy. It should not have been winning all the comedy Emmys. They're like, oh, well, but it's a show that has humor in it, so it's a comedy. Well, The Sopranos had humor in it too, but they weren't nominated for any comedies. I laughed out loud many times at Breaking Bad. They weren't nominated as a comedy. Cheers had some pretty dramatic moments over the years, but it wasn't nominated as a drama. So, anyway, 508-996-0500. Dan, I'm seeing your app chat messages, and I'm a little concerned for your health, man. First of all, besides the vitriolic things you're typing about me and homeless people, I can't even understand what you're saying. You might want to seek medical help. There might be something wrong there. Or either that, or it's just a little too early for you to start app chatting. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good. I think it's a great thing Fall River's doing regarding the homeless, trying to move them along. I mean, they have to be treated like anybody that wants to live a decent life and wants to go to work for a living. They could just say, hey, we have ordinances. Certain things are zoned for camping and for, pitching tents. This is not an area that's zoned for that. Therefore, you have to move along. If they choose not to, well, then maybe a little jail time will help them out.
Well, no, there won't be jail time. At least not by the way that the city council is trying to set this up. They're trying to set this up as a civil infraction that would be a fineable offense. But then Sheriff Harrow brought up the point of what happens when you don't pay the fines. Well, think about this. If you don't pay your parking tickets, does the city come and arrest you and throw you in jail? No, they just find other ways to make things difficult for you, like trying to renew your registration or your license. So,
right.
I think it would be something similar to that. I don't think it's going to get to the point where they're throwing anybody in jail.
For someone who obviously probably don't own a car anyway, you can't, try to hurt them that way by not paying the fine. So ultimately, when you don't pay a fine, you have to face jail time, I believe, at some point. And like you said, there were people there that, you tell them to move along. We have a bed for you. Oh, no, thanks. I don't want that. I want to be where I am. Not everybody, you or I, don't have a choice to, I choose. I want to stay here and pitch a tent, and it's not zoned for that. I get to do what I want without facing consequences. They have to be treated just like the average person that works and that owns a house and lives a life a different way. They have to be treated that way. If they choose not to follow the law, then ultimately you should face jail time. And at least they'll get a bed that way.
Well, that creates what's called a debtor's prison, which we have determined that is not something that we want to be doing in this country.
No, nobody wants to, but if that's their choice, then so be it.
So
they choose to be like that.
So somebody doesn't have a place, because somebody doesn't have a place to live and can't afford to get a place to live.
By choice.
Not necessarily.
You just said they if they're being offered a bed and their choice is not to take the bed, then again, it's choice. They're choosing to say, no, I don't want that bed. I want to do what I want to do. I don't care about what the law says, if it's zoned or not. Then you have to, toughen up and say, well, then face jail time.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that. I think what this is really doing is it's eliminating that gray area that had existed before the Supreme Court decision did, where they would say, you can't be here. And then the person would come back and say, I have every right to be here. This is public land. So this is kind of figuring that part out.
There's certain zoning for certain things, correct? You can't just do what you want where you want in different cities and towns. They have zoning for certain things, correct?
Well, there's no zoning ordinance about whether or not you can park in Brooklawn Park because they didn't camp in Brooklawn Park because they didn't have to make that part of something. So this now gives them the ability to make that ordinance if they want to.
Right. I'm sure there are existing ordinances regarding tents, which would be probably be considered a form of camping. You can't just pitch a tent outside the government center in Fall River because that's where you choose. You can't just choose to do what you want. There are laws. This is a country of laws.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Take it easy. And 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app if you would like to communicate that way. I did get another app chat message from Nick in Fairhaven who wants to know, what did I think of the Mr. McMahon docuseries on Netflix, the one about Vince McMahon? I have, I think I'm three episodes left. How many episodes is it? Six? So then I think I have two left. Although I kind of fell asleep during the last one. Not its fault. It was just late. I fell asleep in the chair. But it was nothing new to me. It was stories that I'd heard for years. But it was interesting to hear it coming from Vince McMahon's mouth in a lot of instances. And to get some insight from the people who have been around him for a long time. But there's nothing new, at least in the episodes that I've seen. So I don't know how deep they're going to get into these latest scandals in the later episodes. But which, of course, you know, they won't have Vince McMahon speaking about, because it's an ongoing legal matter. But and they filmed all these interviews, or most of these interviews, before those allegations came out. But in terms of, you know, if that stuff didn't happen. If we never got all this information that we got about Vince, people would look at this and say, oh, wow, that's an interesting presentation about a complex guy. And for people who don't know all of these stories, which you got to think, that's who this is made for. It's not made for people who have been following WWE forever and know all of these stories or read about them on the internet. This is for people who just know that Vince McMahon's the guy that owned WWE. And so for them, they're hearing these stories and like, wow, I never knew anything about this guy, about this industry, about this company. So in that regard, I think it's going to be, you know, eye-opening to the people who weren't already in it. But you got to think, I mean, I spent 10 years writing about WWE every week. So these, for somebody like me, I was way deeper into it than the average person would have been. The other part of it is there's something to be said for the editorial tone that it takes towards some of these things. You know, it's trying to be objective and non-judgmental and let the people kind of talk about it. But I do notice that there's more people who are on McMahon's side than against. There had to have been more Phil Mushnick type people that they could have involved in this rather than just having the one dissenting voice. I mean, you can tell this is helmed by Bill Simmons of The Ringer, you know, formerly, was he the Boston Sports Guy? Was that his original blog title? But we all know he's a huge WWE fan and a Vince McMahon fan. So yeah, they have the required other side, but I just think that there's people that could have been involved that would have been more critical. Maybe they didn't want to be involved. Especially pre-Janelle Grant lawsuit, because Vince was still the person in charge. If you wanted to get that Legends deal, you didn't say those kind of things. But it's also interesting, you can see how much he put aside personal animosity he might have toward people if he could make money off of them. You go back and you relive how Hulk Hogan left the WWF when he went to WCW, and how much that hurt Vince McMahon personally. But then you see what happened in the steroid trial and all of that. And still, when the time is right, Vince McMahon hires Hulk Hogan back on multiple occasions. Not only after all of that, bringing him back in, what was it, 02 with the NWO. Not only that, but then also bringing him back later after the racial comments incident, when Hulk Hogan was a tainted brand they still brought him back and worked with him again. So very, very interesting. Let me take a break here. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We will be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. We have some app chat messages coming in. Not bad. Oak Bluff says, good morning, Tim. Thank you for saying out loud about the Netflix show, The Bear. It's actually FX and Hulu, but I admit that I enjoy the show, but I simply can't understand all of the honors that has been bestowed upon the series. Yeah, no, I agree. It's not a bad show. It's a very good show. It's just not, it's not the pinnacle of television that the critics make it out to be. And, you know, the same thing happened with Atlanta, which was also an FX show, where people were over the top in praising it because it was so unique and different. And it was good. It was definitely good. But I just didn't see it as, you know, this groundbreaking television series that was going to change the landscape of TV. There's been plenty of shows that have been weird like that for years, but people just didn't pay as much attention to them. And then we got an app chat message from MI8, who is really just Dan changing his accounts. And he says, Ivan Putski, George the Animal Steel, Chief J. Strongbow, all of them I remember, but I also knew they were fake, you weirdo. I don't think that that is the insult that you think it is. Because most people who are wrestling fans and were wrestling fans for years always knew that it was predetermined, that it was scripted. It's part of what you're in on. You're part of the show. Nobody believes that it's two people that naturally just want to beat each other up. Like, nobody ever, I mean, maybe little kids that are like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old think that. But I think every adult knows that it's not quote unquote real. I mean, do you sit there and watch a movie or a TV show? And if somebody, you come into the room and somebody's watching a movie, do you look at them and say, you know, those are all just actors, right? You know, they're just acting out a script that somebody wrote, right? I mean, that's what wrestling is. It's a performance. Nobody ever thought it was anything different. So, again, the low IQ people aren't the people that watch wrestling. The low IQ people are the ones who think that the people who watch wrestling believe that it's real. And by the way, if you think that it's fake, well, I'll tell you what. Next time there's a pro wrestling show, let's ask them if you and I can get a little time in the ring beforehand. And we'll bring in some of their veterans, and they can show you how fake it is. Because I've seen the injuries that happen as a result of it. Again, it's not fake. It's scripted and predetermined. There's a difference. They already know who they want to have, win or lose. So it's, you know, just like the Super Bowl. I'm kidding. I'm kidding about the Super Bowl part. Wrestling definitely is predetermined. But that doesn't mean that you don't enjoy the story that's being told. It's a morality play. Being put on by physically gifted performers who can tell a story through that physicality, through the emotions that they show, through their facial expressions. So I feel bad for you, Dan, that you don't get it. 508-996-0500. And by the way, WWE is now one of the biggest global brands in the world, setting records for attendance, setting records for revenue, So it's funny because watching that Vince McMahon documentary and watching the episode on the Attitude Era, you kind of forget how huge it was at that time. That you would just, you'd go into any store and they had wrestling merchandise on the shelves. You would walk through the mall or, you know, through an amusement park or something, and you'd see tons of people wearing Austin 316 or DX or, you know, rock shirts or whatever. Like, it was everywhere. So, well, sounds like you could probably use a hobby like that, Dan. Maybe you should watch it and let some of your aggressions, you know, subside by watching out the drama play out on screen. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.